Well, it's good to see you tonight out. I don't know, can everyone hear all right? Of course, Paul's back there, aren't you? Can they? Am I on the speaker or just the... Sorry? The loop, okay. So if you can't hear me back there when I'm speaking, go like that. And I'll know you're either making faces at me or or whatever. But I know I'd rather be in a small room. Would rather be there, but you understand, of course, they're starting in this room behind me. Well, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, while you're turning to it, it is good to see so many out. There's quite a number here. As I look around, it would be pretty full in that small room next door, but it's good to see so many. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. You know how, I'll not read the verses before, for I'm sure you know them, how this young Samuel, as a young boy, had been promised to the Lord, and he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel, and he went to Eli. He said, Eli, here I am. And then Eli finally realized it must have been the Lord calling Samuel. And so he was told to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Well, in verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Now, I'd been thinking of starting a series, and we'll maybe think about that over the next 2 weeks, because next week it's a special speaker, Reverend Jeremy Brooks. He was here one night, it must have been a year or so before, an Englishman, and he's from the Protestant Truth Society, and this time he's coming to speak about the work of that society. So I'm looking forward to that. As I say, he did preach one Sunday night. He usually preaches at High Lee, and he was a pastor of a church, but is now full-time going round speaking for the Protestant Truth Society. But coming home today, I hadn't intended to speak on this, but coming from the college, I was coming up the Newton Arch Road about 2 p.m., so listening to a CD, but it ran out, and I thought, well, listen to the Northern Ireland News. And I heard an item on the news, the first item, and I tell you the truth, I didn't really listen to anything else. And there was something about that news item that caught my attention. And I not only heard the words that the announcer said, but I really heard it. I listened to it and I began to think as I was driving, and it reminded me of this passage. And it reminded me of the life of Samuel. Do you know over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11... I'll not turn to it, but in Hebrews 11, that Samuel is listed in the hall of fame of great men and women of faith. So he is held up as the example of what faith is. Do you want to know what faith is in a person's life? Look at the life of Samuel. Now, why? People are put there for different reasons. Joshua, you think of the walls of the city coming down. Moses, parents, you think of how they hid him and cared for him. You think of Moses, how he turned to the Lord, forsook Egypt. And they're all there for different aspects or illustrations of faith. Now, Samuel is listed as a man of faith. Faith, of course, we're told, is he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, when you think about why Samuel is listed, you don't read of great miracles in his life the way you do of Elisha and Elijah. And maybe you're wondering, well, what is Samuel listed for? Well, Jeremiah 15. If you just turn to that, and then we'll turn to another verse. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel, but Jeremiah chapter 15. Now, this is hundreds of years later. Hundreds of years later. So keep that in mind. And Jeremiah is speaking to the people. You know, the people had apostatized and wouldn't listen. So they came to the point where God said that they've gone so far, they've deliberately defied and rejected him, that God would not answer any prayer for their deliverance. God had determined, because of their iniquity, that Babylon would come and carry them captive. And Jeremiah says in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me," in other words, prayed, "yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." Jeremiah is saying, look, I've prayed for you, but you know, you're just so stubborn, you've defied God's word. And even though a great man like Moses, what a man of prayer Moses was, and Samuel is chosen out hundreds of years later, and the people of Israel knew that that man who had lived hundreds of years before was a great man of prayer. Over in Psalm 99 and verse 6, you have a reference from God again speaking. There it was God speaking through Jeremiah. But in 99 verse 6. And we read there in Psalm 99 6. "Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them." And there it is in the Psalm. Samuel is listed as a man who spoke to God, and God heard him. God heard him. You see, people of faith pray. So when I was driving in the car the distance here, I began to go over in my mind verses I could think of, and there are many, many of them in the Psalms. For instance, Psalm 54:2, "Hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. Incline thine ear unto me, hide not thyself from my supplication." Psalm 77:1, "I cried unto the Lord, he gave ear unto me." I think of many other references in the Psalms to the same thought. Psalm 80, "O shepherd of Israel, give ear, give ear." Psalm 84, verse 8, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer, give ear." I like this one in Psalm 86:1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord." Psalm 86 and verse 6, "Give ear, O Lord." Samuel was a man of faith because he prayed. And God heard him. Now, of course, God hears everything that is uttered. He hears the trill of a sparrow. He hears every bird sound. He hears every lion that roars. He hears every voice that's uttered of his people and others. But, of course, the psalmist wasn't meaning, "Lord, are you sovereign enough to hear the words that come out of my mouth?" We know that's not what he meant. You know, there's a difference between hearing and hearing. You can hear with the ear a sound. You can even hear a word. But we sometimes say, "Have you really heard? Have you really been listening?" And when the psalmist many times cried out, "Give ear, O Lord, bow down thine ear," of course what he meant was, "Lord, hear my words, answer my prayer." That's what the idea is, that God would listen. And I thought of Samuel. His life commenced with prayer. That's what we have here in chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the book. And we go back to the story that I'm sure we all know from childhood. You see that Hannah had no children, and she cried to the Lord, and she was brokenhearted. And in chapter 1, she goes in there to the tabernacle, and she's praying into herself. But her mouth is moving. And of course, tonight we do want people to lead us audibly in prayer here. But you know, and it's good, we need people to lead us audibly in prayer, and we go along with them and say the amen, whether in our heart or outwardly. But of course, even in a prayer meeting like this, God sees the inaudible prayer of your heart. Hannah was not praying out loud, but there's one thing: God heard the cries of her heart, and God's ear heard her cry, even though it wasn't audible. Isn't that a wonderful truth there? But of course, the sad truth was Eli saw her mouth moving and said, "The woman's drunk." Shows you the low state of spirituality at that time, doesn't it? His two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were chief priests in Israel at that time. Oh, they recited words. There's no doubt in their day-to-day ritual as they took the sacrifices, although the condemnation was they kept the best part of the animal for themselves. They're in it for the money. And they're in it for immorality. Their position, it was pride of position. No doubt they said words. No doubt they repeated prayers. But they never prayed. God's ear wasn't open to their cry. Now, of course, God heard the words they said. Of course he did. But in another sense, I'm not contradicting to say God didn't hear them. What I mean is God didn't hear them to answer them. They weren't his people. But God heard the inaudible speech of that dear lady Hannah. And she was promised a son. And of course, we know who that was. Samuel. Samuel. Do you know what the name Samuel means? You have it there in verse 10 of chapter 3, the verse I read. God says, Samuel. Do you know what the verse means, or the word? Literally, you'd say it in Hebrew, Samuel. It would be an H sound on it at the beginning, though translated into English, you'd just call it Samuel. But if you were a Hebrew speaker, you'd say Sham. Samuel is how they would say it in Hebrew. Not that it's too important, but anyway. Mr. Douglas always liked the Hebrew, but we speak in English. Samuel will do. It means, listen, heard by God or asked of God. Either interpretation in the Hebrew. In other words, every time his mother, when he was still a young toddler, before he went to the live with Eli, every time she said, Samuel! It's dinner time or whatever. Asked of God. Heard of God. His very name is a testimony that God hears and answers prayer. That's what the word Samuel means. Next time you use that, Samuel means God answers prayer. He hears the prayers of his people. What an encouragement. And here's the first time that's recorded in chapter 3 and verse 10 when he prays himself. And the prayer is, speak, thy servant heareth. That's a great prayer to pray. Speak to me, Lord. We sang that hymn tonight. That's a wonderful prayer to ask, Lord, speak to me. We should do that when we come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Speak to me, Lord. And then we can pray, speak to others. But Lord, speak to me. Speak to me that I would hear. Don't let me leave without hearing something from thy word. Speak, Lord, to me. And you see, part of prayer is listening. Part of a prayer meeting is listening and then speaking. Many, many years ago, I heard a preacher say a lovely thing, and I've repeated it often. I think it's excellent. You sometimes get people say lovely, pithy statements. And he said, too often God's people rush into God's presence and say, listen, Lord, your servant's speaking. Listen, Lord, I'm speaking, instead of saying, Lord, speak. I'm your servant, I'm listening. And then when he speaks, then we have something to say back to him, to ask. So there's a listening. Listen. And children can pray. I have a little booklet. I'm not sure if George republished it or not. Children in the 59 Revival. I know I have an original copy that was put out in the 1860 of children during the revival. Of how in 1859 in schools, and we're talking about young children, primary school level, were meeting for prayer during their breaks. Instead of playing as they usually did, little groups of children were actually praying together for their classmates. Children can pray. Samuel obviously was a young child at this time, but God heard his prayer. And of course God did tell him things. You remember how the ark taken and Eli falling back and so on. God did reveal things to Samuel. He said, speak, Lord. Or speak, your servant heareth. And God did speak to him. Here he is as a boy, and the point I'm making is God answered his prayer. He had the ear of God even as a young child. God heard him, and God answered, and God gave him a word. In other words, he had a very sensitive ear. He had a very sensitive ear to hear God speak. You know, there's some people are deaf when God speaks. They don't hear him at all. Now, I know God can speak with a voice that wakes the dead. I'm not contradicting myself here, but I'm saying the natural man left to himself will not hear. But Samuel heard. He had a sensitive ear to God's voice. His life continued in prayer. Turn to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 16. And here he is, his life continued in prayer. He's now in his ministry. He's now in his ministry. And in verse 16 of chapter 7, and as he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places, and his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Samuel was an amazing character. He was a prophet. He was obviously from a priestly family. A prophet, a priest, and a judge. He's unique. There were judges in Israel, but there weren't priests. This man was a prophet, a priest, and a judge. But what it's saying here was, in his ministry as judge, he was like a circuit judge. He would go from place to place, hearing the problems of the people, sorting out the difficulties. And it says every year through his life, that was part of his ministry, to go on a tour as a judge. There's the cities listed. No doubt he stayed overnight. But you notice in the last verse, he came back to his hometown. And when he came back, he built an altar. What's that telling us? He spent time after he had carried out his ministry. He spent time seeking the Lord and praying, and the altar speaks of Calvary. We sang the Calvary now. He went to what spoke of the cross, of the coming Redeemer who would shed his blood and give his life as a sacrifice. And the altar speaks of worship. The altar speaks of listening to God. The altar speaks of praying to the Lord. So here he is. He knows in his ministry that he has to come to the place of prayer and fellowship with God. It's so important. That's why the prayer meeting is so important. Our normal times of personal prayer, it's important. And he has it important in his life. He must have the ear of God. That's what we're trying to say here. He must have the ear of God in his life. Go back down the chapter. Go back in the chapter a moment or two. Go down here to verse 5. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. We're in chapter 7, verse 4. And in verse 5, Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. Look at verse 8. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb. There you have Calvary again. You see that? Offered it for a burnt offering and holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. Listen. And the Lord heard him. The Lord's ears were open. And there you have again Calvary. You know, it's amazing. The older I get, the more I'm amazed that some people can preach the Bible and never get to the cross. The cross is everywhere in the Bible. Here it is, an illustration. Before he cried to the Lord in prayer, he offered an animal, and he's looking forward by faith to Calvary. We look back to faith. Of course, we don't offer an animal tonight as we come to pray. Of course not. But we're doing the same as Samuel. As we come to the prayer meeting, we're thinking of the cross of Christ, and we're saying, oh God, you're our Father, but we dare not come into your presence without the sacrifice of Christ. But Lord, hear us because of Calvary, because we have a high priest and there's a blood-sprinkled pathway. And the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. Do you ever hear people say, and I know some people mean it in a good sense, even God's people sometimes say it this way, but I've heard people who are not saved at all, and you know they're not saved, and they say, when you know you're a minister here, oh, you know, I'm a great believer in prayer. I feel like telling them, well, I'm not. They're not saying the same as what a born-again person says. Do you understand what I mean? I've heard true believers who sometimes say, but I'm talking about people you know are not saved at all, and they say, oh, I believe in prayer. Listen, it's not prayer I believe in. I believe in the God who answers prayer. I believe in the God who answers prayer when you come through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a different thing. There's no magic in prayer. There's no magic in the type of words you say. People who talk like that, modernist liberals, They're just saying, oh, you just have a few wee thoughts in your mind. It doesn't really matter whether you pray to Buddha or somebody else or the Muslims the way they pray. Or if you just, no, it's not repeating. That's not biblical prayer. That's not what Samuel was doing. He knew the Lord. Samuel was a converted man. Samuel came by faith through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking forward to Calvary. Oh, no, it's the God who answers prayer we believe in. And I love verse 13 in this chapter, because it said, the Philistines were kept at bay. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Why? Because he was a man who had the ear of God. Turn over to chapter 12. This is sometimes later. Go down to verse 17. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Isn't that amazing? They feared Samuel. Why did they fear him? Because he could pray and have the ear of God, and God answered him. And the people feared him. They feared his prayers. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't it be great to have a reputation like that? Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody in Newton Arch said, oh, you see that group of people there in the Bangor Road? You better be careful of them, because you know they can pray and God answers them. That's what they're saying here. You see, the people had apostatized again away from God, and Samuel said, I'm going to pray God will give you an illustration of his wrath. I'm going to call on God to send thunder and rain upon your wheat in the field, so that you'll know how serious it is to be against God. And he prayed. Thunder came. The people feared. Of course, it caused them to return to the Lord. It broke their hearts when they realized the awful consequences of their sin. But isn't it amazing? They feared the Lord and feared him. I will call upon the Lord. Down, they realized that. See, in verse 19, the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord, that we die not. You see, they're coming now and saying, look, pray for us. We've been wicked. We've been wicked. And so in verse 20, he told them not to fear. Yes, you have been wicked, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. He was telling them to return. They were convicted. That's the point. And in verse 22, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. He's saying, listen, the Lord will save you. The Lord will deliver you. You just come to him. He will look after you. They're under conviction. You know, it's a wonderful thought there, looked at it this afternoon. Those people came under conviction through Samuel's prayers. You see, if I had time to go into the chapter, would show you that the people were complacent away from God. And Samuel said, I've read it earlier, verse 17, I'm going to pray that God will send thunder and rain so that you will see your wickedness. And God did it. They became convicted of their sinful ways through the prayers of Samuel. Well, through the prayers of Samuel, and God, of course, working, choosing to work and answer Samuel's prayers. People we know, and you wonder, have they no conviction of sin at all? And maybe we've talked to them about their condition and they just seem unmoved like stone. Well, Samuel had the ear of God and God convicted them. That's the answer. Pray for them. Pray like Samuel to the Lord. Go back to chapter 8. His life commenced with prayer, continued with prayer. Now, I know we're jumping back, but yet I think I'm still valid in saying his life commenced with prayer, continued with prayer, concluded with prayer. Because in verse 4 and 5 of this chapter, he is rejected. You see, in verse 5, he said that we want a king. You're old. Look at verse 5. And he said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. In fact, verse 1 tells us it came to pass when Samuel was old. So he was old. Now, I don't know what age that is, what old means. It means different things to different people. But the Lord said he was old and he was rejected. And they said, we don't want you anymore. We want a king like the other nations, and your sons are ungodly. Well, look what happened. We'll just jump to verse 21 for time. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he became angry and rebuked them and shouted at them. And no. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Isn't that good? He went and talked to God about it. Isn't that amazing? He told the Lord all about it. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. How often even that is true there. Now, chapter 12, verse 2. Let's read verse 1 as well. Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice. So Samuel's ear was open, and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you. And I smile at this verse. And I am old and grey-headed. That's not me, of course. I just got grey-headed young. But I am old and grey-headed. But you know, I have walked before thee from my childhood unto this day. He's still praying to the Lord. That's the thing. He's still praying to God. And he said, verse 5, the Lord is witness against you and has anointed as witness this day that you have not found aught in my hand. In other words, he's saying, I've walked before you properly. Now go down to verse 23 just for time. This is his farewell speech. This is the end of his ministry, the end of his life, really. He had stopped the public ministry of being a judge, but he still lived for maybe 17, 18, 19 years past that. And he would have given advice to young David, but he also did something else. Look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you in the good and the right way. God forbid that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you. Prayerlessness is sinfulness. Somebody may say, but I don't drink, I don't gamble, but prayerlessness is sin. Because in prayerlessness, the cross of Christ is despised. Because Christ went to Calvary to save us from our sins, but to open a way to heaven so that you and I could pray. And yet if we don't come with the way the Lord has provided, what is that saying about our view of the cross and appreciation of what the Lord has done at Calvary when he has opened the way? Of course, the Church of Christ is deprived. He's saying, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The people would be deprived if he didn't continue to pray. And the people of God and the work of God is deprived when we don't pray. And of course, the cause of Christ is defeated, because prayer is part of the armor of Ephesians chapter 6. So prayerlessness is sin. Prayerlessness is sin. I'll not turn to it, but in 1 Samuel 15, you'll find him praying for Saul. Even though Saul had disappointed him and turned, he still prayed for him. Of course, Paul did the same. People that turned against him and even wanted to kill him, Paul prayed for them, prayed for his enemies, prayed for those that despitefully used it. I'm saying that Saul's life came because of prayer. His spiritual life began in prayer. His life continued in prayer. He concluded his life with prayer, saying he wouldn't give up praying, even though he was a very elderly man. I'll continue to pray, and I know if I don't pray, I'm sinning. Prayer. Samuel, a man of faith because of his prayers. His life was characterized by prayer. Two verses in closing. 1 Samuel 8. This is what immediately I thought when I heard this news broadcast at 2 o'clock. I'm sure you've all worked out what the news item was that I heard at 2 o'clock. That is, if you listen to the news, I'm sure, I presume it's in the news the rest of the day. I know it was in the television news at 6 or 20 past, whatever, 25 past, is it? Whatever time it comes on, I know. Look at verse 21 of chapter 8. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them. Now note this. In the ears of the Lord. Turn to chapter 9, verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear. I think that's lovely. And when I was traveling at 2 o'clock, it said something about the first minister was at some launch of something to do with deafness. And he revealed that he woke up one morning and it was either 60 or 80% of his hearing had gone when he woke up one morning. And it spoke about the numbers in our province who are suffering from hearing loss. And that's all. But I didn't. Yes, there were words. The radio was still on in the car. But to tell you the truth, I heard words, but I didn't really hear what the rest of the news was about. Because when I heard that wee item, I began to think, ear. Losing the hearing. And I thought of those two verses I've just read. Thank God, God's hearing is never dull. He always hears the cries of his people. And then in chapter 9:15, thank God, Samuel's ear was sensitive. You know, it's possible as believers to lose the sensitivity of our spiritual hearing. Now, it is a serious problem to use our physical ear and we don't have the power of hearing. We're not trying to belittle that seriousness of that. But in a sense, it's far more serious to lose the sensitivity of our spiritual ear. And the Bible does speak about being dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. But Samuel, isn't it so intimate? I love that verse I mentioned earlier. The psalmist said, Lord, bow down thine ear. You ever had a little child come and tell you something? You say, speak up, and you get down. You want to hear the word they're saying. And the psalmist said, Lord, I'm just a little child. But Lord, would you be gracious and bow down your ear so that I can just tell you what's troubling me. What's my request? Bow down thine ear and hear. And then God came and as if he whispered in Samuel's ear. May our ears be sensitive. God forbid that we'll have hearing loss spiritually. Well, some requests now.